To the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for this Reformation Sunday is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 12 through 19. Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." Thus far, God's Word. In the name of Jesus, who has preserved His Word for His children through all ages, dear fellow redeemed. Eureka was a word heard through the streets of Syracuse as Archimedes excitedly ran after having discovered the principle of water displacement. Eureka, from the Greek meaning "I found it," showed the excitement that Archimedes had. Archimedes had many Eureka moments throughout his long career as a successful mathematician. And he wasn't alone. History is filled with Eureka moments. Even today, believe it or not, we still find Eureka moments. On the one hand, you have the great frontier, the darkness of the outer space in which we are continually finding new things. And on the other hand, closer to home, think of a little child who is just figuring out which shape fits into what hole in that container. And once they finally figure that puzzle out, that Eureka joy shines across their face. To figure out a problem that has perplexed you for a long time is one of the greatest feelings imaginable. The load of relief that is released from your mind is amazing in and of itself. But as great as that is, as great as the Eurekas have been in the realms of science, math, technology, etc., as great as those have been, today we will consider a greater Eureka moment, that of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our theme for this Reformation Sunday is, it's all about the Word. The Word of God provides the greatest Eureka moment because it does show our desperate need for a Savior from our sin. But more than that, it shines a bright, life-changing light into those who sit in the darkness of unbelief and in the terror of their sin. The Word, the Gospel, does it all. The kingdom of heaven has always been a light in a dark place. Consider Abraham, whose entire family worshipped pagan gods. But he was called to faith by the true God to shine brightly with the promise of the gospel. And even his descendants, the children of Israel, shone as a bright light in the promised land. Nearly every pagan nation that surrounded them had to pass through their land where they could see and hear and learn of the light of God's salvation. In Jesus' day, it was no different. Except the darkness that was there didn't come from the pagan nations around them, but it came from the church itself. The Pharisees had thrust the people into a self-imposed darkness. How, you might ask? Well, they hid the gospel behind their numerous laws. The God of mercy and forgiveness, the God of promise and fulfillment, was turned into an angry and demanding God with no recourse for failure. The same thing happened in the days of the Reformation. The church had thrust its people into a spiritual darkness. The church, the leaders, kept the one shining light, that Word of God, away from the common person. Only the church was allowed to interpret what the Bible says. And what did the Bible say, according to them? God is an angry and demanding God. The only recourse for you is to be better. Has anything changed today? Certainly not. There are countless examples we could point to of churches and leaders who deliberately hide away the gospel in order to make their people more reliant on them. Rather than showing the God who died for them, the people only hear about the God who is angry and demanding because you aren't a good enough follower. Have you started to notice a pattern? The kingdom of heaven, the truth of God's salvation through Christ alone, is constantly under attack. With every lie, deceit, and devilish trick in the book, Satan's only hope for stopping the kingdom of heaven from advancing is to hide the light, to take the people's eyes off of the gospel, sending them back to that darkness from which they came. Unfortunately, it is a strong temptation, one that has taken so many asunder. In the days of Noah, the disdain for the Word of God was so great that God chose to bring judgment on their wickedness and judge the earth. Even God's chosen people, the children of Israel, lost the gospel so often that the consequence of forsaking God was that the gospel would then go to the Gentiles and not just to the Jews. John tells us in chapter 6 of his gospel that many who followed Jesus stopped because they did not believe in him. Once they find out that Jesus was not there to fulfill their needs and desires, they had no use for him. They fell back into the darkness. And certainly, the Catholic Church had the pure gospel for hundreds of years. And yet the spiritual darkness crept its way into the hierarchy, and it soon fell into the darkness that it once claimed to fight against. Search the history of the church, and you will find example after example of this temptation to return to that clouded darkness of forsaking the gospel. Even among the Lutheran church, you will find it. And yet, in every place, God has preserved a remnant of his people who do not forsake the truth of His word. The kingdom of heaven is like a passing rain shower. It waters the ground underneath it, but it inevitably moves on to water something else. We see that in the time of Jesus. In the verse before our text, Jesus says that there is no one born among men who is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because John is the first prophet of God who did not have to pore over the revelation he received from God and wonder what it meant. The prophets of the Old Testament had to constantly look forward with a dim foreshadow of what was to come. But not John. John was able to directly point to the man in the flesh, Jesus, as a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. For that reason, he was named the greatest because he saw salvation in the flesh. He pointed people to Jesus, the fulfillment of the law, to the bright, shining light of men who offer forgiveness and salvation through His blood. And it was this truth that the people could not get enough of. Droves upon droves of people came to hear for themselves this precious truth of the gospel. They had been starved of its relief for so long. It was truly a eureka moment for them. In Mark 7, Jesus heals a man who is blind and has a speech impediment. After Jesus healed him, he instructed the man and the witnesses around to tell no one about what they had seen. But the more that he commanded them to stay silent, the more they zealously proclaimed what he had done for them. They proclaimed the gospel message. And what did the people say in response? He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Does that sound familiar? Isaiah 35. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong. Fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Incredible. Once the people understood the gospel, the entirety of the scriptures were open to them. They began to see how loving and glorious God truly is. And it is not limited to just Jesus physically walking this earth. Upon his ascension into heaven, he now uses people to show that same effect, revealing the truth of the scriptures through the preaching of his word. In the dark days of the Reformation, it was a lowly monk who was overwhelmed by the weight of his sin. But the shower of the gospel watered his weary soul and sprouted forth the beauteous treasure of God's salvation. God used Martin Luther and those around him to bring a eureka moment to countless people who were likewise starved of the truth. How important was that truth to them? Well, for Martin Luther, it meant staring down the most powerful ruling authority in the world at that time. It meant his head being on wanted posters all over the country, knowing that anyone could kill him and be justified. It meant everything. Gain or loss, blessing or persecution, it did not matter. That is how precious the peace of forgiveness through Jesus is. How important was the truth of God's word to Jesus? Important enough to die for. Not just to be ready to die, but to actually die. The fulfillment of God's word in order to save the world from its sin is the number one priority of our Savior. That is why he went to the cross to suffer and die. He wasn't the victim. While on the cross, he was making payment for sin. He wanted to be there. He needed to be there. While on that cross, Jesus looked forward and back. He saw all who had put their trust in him as a promised Messiah. He remained on the cross for them. And he looked forward to see you. He saw how desperately you and I are in need of a Savior, and so there he remained, abandoned by God, in order that you sitting here today might have life, light, and salvation. Yes, Jesus died for you. He literally suffered violence so that the burden of your sin is taken away and replaced with the forgiveness that only God can offer. So what does this mean to you? You might not remember the exact eureka moment when the Holy Spirit created faith in your heart, but you certainly see the effects of it today. Can you think back to your confirmation? The oath that you made to be a diligent student of the Word, making use of the means of grace and growing in the knowledge of Christ Jesus? What does that oath mean to you now? It means everything. Because that oath is only made possible by the gospel. It only matters because Jesus has taken care of everything. Seize the kingdom. Hold on to it violently so that no one may take it away from you. I remember when I was younger, I would struggle to button the top button on my shirt or push a button on my pants through that hole. My hand strength wasn't there. And I needed help. Naturally, I went to my dad, who would always help me, and he had the strength to do it. God gives you the strength to hold on to the grace that he has given you. He does so through the Bible. See, it's all about the Word. The Word gives you the eureka moment that opens up the entirety of the Scriptures. But most importantly, when that shower of the gospel inevitably passes from our lands, the Word of God, the Word made flesh, gives you the strength to violently seize the kingdom of heaven and never let it go. You have something precious and irreplaceable. Jesus revealed himself to be the light of the world and Savior of mankind. God used Martin Luther to restore that right teaching of His Word and to bring the light of salvation to a spiritually starving people. God has already begun using you and me to bring the light of His Word to the far reaches of the world. Places like India, where the gospel is flourishing, and Africa, Nepal. But He will use you again to bring the light of salvation to your own people, so you can share how it's all about the Word. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.